evening, everyone. Opening ceremonies, roll call, please.
Yes, Director Garcia.
Present.
Director Hudson.
Here.
Director Hoagland.
Here.
Director Lopez Garcia.
Here.
Let the record show Director Torlakson is not here yet.
Let's do the pledge of allegiance, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Moving along, we have the approval of the agenda.
I make a motion that we approve the agenda as it stands.
I second it.
Thank you.
Director Hudson?
Aye.
Director Hoagland?
Aye.
Director Lopez Garcia?
Aye.
Director Garcia?
Aye.
The record show Director Torlakson is not here yet.
Okay. Consent calendar. Yeah. The consent calendar is composed of routine items of business and will be adopted in whole or in part by motion unless a request is made by a board member to remove a specific item. A minutes of the October 12-20 regular meeting and October 25th and November 1st special meetings. Approval of warrants for 2180 through 42021, financial reports, and written staff reports.
I make a motion that we approve the consent calendar as stated.
Seconded.
Okay. Thank you.
Director Hoagland?
Aye.
Director Lopez Garcia?
Aye.
Director Garcia?
Aye.
Director Hudson?
Aye.
Record show Director Torlakson is not here. Oh, here she comes. Okay.
She's
here. Say aye.
Aye.
Okay.
Okay, moving on with presentations. A introduction of our new Bay Point Youth Academy coordinator, Mayville Haas. Hi.
Hello.
Welcome.
Thank you. So, thank you, Madam Chair and board members. My name is Mabel Haas. I'd like to start off by, saying I'm pleased to be here tonight to introduce myself and meet you all. As background of myself, I was born in San Francisco. I moved into Pittsburgh, so I've been in the area since 2001. I went to Pittsburgh High and graduated class of 2012. I know, sounds recent. I did go straight into San Francisco State and graduated with a bachelor's in family and consumer sciences and a minor in counseling in the year of 2016, so last December. I have been doing a lot of volunteer work through Contra Costa Crisis Center, with the STAND program, and then not to mention with my mother's home daycare business. So I've grown up with children. I've done lots of work with infants through teenagers, even adults at the Crisis Center. With that being said, I am very honored to take on the role as the new Bay Point Youth Academy Coordinator. I'm very excited to see the success that we will develop with the program and super excited to see what is to come.
Well, thank you and welcome.
Thank you.
Presentations B. Presentation by Colin Coffey of the East Bay Regional Park District. Hello there.
Good evening. Like Mabel, I'm brand new too, and I wanted to come here and introduce myself, and I'll spend just a minute or two doing that, and then Carla Cuero is with me from the Planning Department of the Park District, and she has a presentation on the Bay Point Restoration and Public Access Project at the Bay Point Shoreline Park, project that is now fully funded and ready to go once the permits are obtained. So for me, I am very excited to be your new Ward 7 representative on the East Bay Regional Park Board. I was appointed in February to fill out the term of Diane Burgess, who got elected, as you know, to the Board of Supervisors. And I have no one understanding why she wanted to go work for the Board of Supervisors. The Park District is a tremendous opportunity to provide for these communities every day on a basis that they really enjoy, they like. And now Diane has to deal with, you know, half the time people don't like what they're doing, half the time they do. So I really enjoy this job. Ward 7 stretches from Pinole, about half of it, half of my district is Old Town Pinole, all along the communities, every community along the coast of northern Contra Costa, from Pinole to the waterways around Discovery Bay. So it's a large district. And just the idea of being able to work on open space and recreation and habitat for a district that is bordered entirely by waterway around the county is really fun. It's really a great opportunity. I was appointed in 2001 by Ted Radke to their Park Advisory Committee. May served on it for some period of time, as I recall. It's the equivalent of a city's planning commission. All the land use issues and policy issues involving rules and regulations go through the PAC before they get to the board of directors. So I served 8 years as Ted Radke's appointee. I served 5 years until the appointment to this seat as the Contra Costa Board of Supervisors appointee. So I had 13 years on the PAC since 2005, so I'm going on 14 years or so, 13, 14 years now. My wife and I have served the Park District as volunteer ambassadors, which is the equivalent of a docent program, only it's at large. We're not docents at a specific park, although we tended to hang out at Black Diamond for most of our gigs when we're doing ambassador duty. We're basically sent where the district wants us to represent the district at a table, at a festival, at a booth at a festival, or some park, actually, park-sponsored event, like the open house at Black Diamond Mines that we do quite frequently. We did the festival you posted, and we had our park district table out in front here. What was that, several months ago? So my wife and I were out there with our uniforms on and representing the park district, which is actually, I would say, one of the most fun things that I get to do, because the programs, the parks, and the especially the park rangers and the naturalists are very popular with these communities, and you get that kind of feedback by going out and doing that work. So that's how I came to be officially associated with the district, and probably in a large part, I would guess, led to my being appointed. Unofficially, I've been associated. I've grown up in Contra Costa. I was born, raised, career, all in Contra Costa, so I've been using these parks my entire life. Grew up in Tilden Park. I got married in Tilden Park 32 years ago, and my kids, who are now just getting past college age, grew up in these parks, and it's been a close association then, just informally and formally, for all these years. So I'm very grateful for the opportunity to represent these communities. So Carla can go through this project. I Doug said, you know, what's major happening that impacts Bay Point, and it's this project. It's been budgeted, approved. It's going to be a $4 to $5 million project, and very much focused on enhancing and restoring the marsh, the actual habitat, improving the trail around the marsh, make it more accessible, create some shade out there, and at least start the implementation of a kayak launch down at the park. So Carla can go through the details.
Thank you. Well, first I want to make sure that I say thank you for coming and for serving and doing all the work that you've done over the years. For it's important.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Do you have a clicker?
I'm your clicker. Just tell me. I'll be your clicker.
Just tell me next slide and I'll do that.
Should we dim the lights? Should we dim the lights, Mr. Johnson?
Just, yeah, that probably should be fine. Good.
Carla and Clara, thank you guys for having me. So I'm gonna just do a quick update on the project. We'll do a site overview, some history of the project, existing features at the park, and then just some project details. And then if you have any questions, we can have that afterward. Next slide. So I don't know if any of you have been up there yet, but it's at the shoreline. There's an existing about 1.1 mile loop, a multi-use trail. There's a staging area, and it abuts the shoreline with there's existing wetlands and marshes out there. Quick history and background: the Park District acquired the property in 1996. Since then, there's been a land use plan that's been implemented. And just fast forwarding to 2007, some of the improvements in the land use plan were implemented included a parking lot. I think there's about 15 spaces out there. So there's some picnic tables, a vault restroom, and some interpretive exhibits in the staging area. There's lighting in the parking lot and site security that would be, there's gates and fencing there now. Next slide. In 2011, there was a trail study complete for the Great California Delta Trail. The beginning of that is actually, it's pretty much in the Bayport Regional Shoreline Park, going all the way east to Pittsburgh. Between 2012 to 2016, a spur of the Great California Delta Trail, which starts in the Bay Point Regional Shoreline Park and goes all the way to the shoreline, that study was complete also. And so now we've started the habitat restoration and public access project that we're working on now. And again, going back to the land use plan that was complete in 2001, the improvements from that plan that we're going to be working on with this project include improving the existing loop trail. We'll raise that, make it resilient to sea level rise, and just improve the surface of it. We'll make some staging area improvements to the existing staging area, and then we'll do some habitat restoration also. So there's going to be a couple of slides of existing features. So here's just an overlook of this is within that loop trail, and it used to be a sand dredging operation a long time ago. So there's some old metal pieces like this that you'll see if you go out there, and we'll clean that up with the project. So this is a photo of current conditions. This is a view of that loop trail. Again, it's multi-use. I guess you can take bicycles. When I've gone out there, I've seen dog walkers mostly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And this is a view of the existing staging area. I think this is from the water looking toward the staging area. That restroom is to the right. Next slide. So for the project we're working on, the big thing here is that we're going to implement the improvements that were identified in the land use plan. And we have co-equal goals, and that includes habitat restoration and public access, those going hand in hand together. So for as far as sea level rise, we're planning for that, and we're incorporating it into not just the public access features like raising the trail, but also the habitat area. We'll plan it. There's Johnson Family Marsh was recently completed in Richmond, and to me this is almost like a mini Johnson Family Marsh project, the way that we'll design the wetlands and then the transition zone to adapt to sea level rise as that comes in the future. So for the restoration, we'll be improving and enhancing the tidal marsh, creating seasonal wetlands and enhancing the upland areas there. And some of the species that the habitat will help support include the salt marsh harvest mouse, Ridgeways Rail, and there's a couple of special status plants in the project area also. For public access, again, like I mentioned, we'll raise and improve that Harrier Trail, and I'll show you a picture of what that plan looks like a little bit later on. Some of the staging area improvements include shade structures. So right now, there's four like separated picnic areas. We'll put a shade structure over the two larger ones, so in the summer, you know, it'll be a little nicer to have a picnic out there. We're studying the feasibility of bringing drinking water and sewer to the staging area, so that will be a big improvement. And again, we're evaluating a launch for a kayak, because that was an improvement identified in the land use plan. So here's a really nice graphic. It shows you just a conceptual view of what the plan would look like. It's kind of small, but you can see there's a couple of viewpoints. I think there's three of them, so they'll be higher, but you'll be above the restoration area, and you'll be able to look at the restored wetlands and also out over the marsh toward the water. There's going to be, so the J channel there will breach it so that it'll bring some tidal flow into that wetland area where right now it's separated off. You can kind of see that connection there, and there's going to be a bridge over that, so you can cross over where we breach the J channel. So I think that's that for that slide. Thank you. Here's another view for the public access features. We're gonna, like I said, upgrade the trail. It'll be accessible, so for people with disabilities, it'll be easier for them to get out there and enjoy the park. And again, we'll add shade structures and provide drinking water once we finish studying the feasibility of that. Here's just a view of the picnic area. So that one has four picnic tables, and there's another one like that on the other side. So those are the two larger ones that we'll put structures over, hopefully next year. And here's some cross sections of the trail. So this first section of the trail that's highlighted, that it starts in the staging area, and then it's highlighted in red. So this one I think is gonna be 10 feet wide. It'll be paved, and it'll be raised, so it's resilient to sea level rise. Right now, it's kind of narrow, and it's not in the best shape. So this will be a big improvement. And then service vehicles will be able to get out there and do work, or if there's emergencies, they'll have better access to. Next slide. And so this cross section just shows, it's kind of the same thing. These cross sections on the right, they just show kind of what it'll look like from that point in the trail. So what this part of the trail that's highlighted in red, it's going to be 8 feet wide, I think. So it's a little more narrow than the other one, but still going to be raised, and the surface is going to be much improved compared to what it is now. And just looking at that photo on the right, it kind of gives you a feel of how there'll be like transition zone on the side, so it slopes more gently into the habitat area that we're going to improve. So next steps and schedule. So far we began the design and we're in permitting right now. Something that I've been pretty closely involved with is the weed control that we've initiated there. So for about a year now, we've been managing the vegetation out there. There were tons of every kind of weed you could think of was out there. So we've had a contractor working on controlling those weeds for the past year, and it's pretty encouraging because just with the removal of some of the more invasive species, like saltgrass and other native plants have just started coming up because they have more room to breathe now, and we're already seeing that improvement. So it's exciting. So next year we'll finish, going to 2018, we'll secure permits and finish that up, and we'll look to award the construction contract in the winter, beginning of 2019, and plan on constructing that year. Do you have any, that's the project? There may be one more.
So the trail.
So this is a large, like the plan of the Great California Delta Trail. It hasn't been implemented yet, and Director Clough, you can chime in if I miss anything, but it's something that the Park District is definitely interested in implementing. I think there's a lot of different property issues along the way. As you go east, there's a lot of different property owners, so that's something that we have to work through, but you know, it's definitely on our radar to start that trail system.
Any questions?
I have a question. What happened to the spur plan?
So the spur trail, so that study was complete last year. At this point, we're not going to implement it with this particular project that we're working on now. That study, it helped us see it was going to be very expensive, in the range of $3 million. But just at this point, we decided we're not going to move forward with that part with this project.
Because of sea level rise and where it is now, it's you know, when it's dry, you can walk out there and walk all the way to the bay. I've done that. If it's at all wet, it becomes marsh and you can't get out there much past the harbor. So the study concluded that pretty much when you're past the harbor, the rest of the way out, and the whole point was to get access to the bay there.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. They would have to build a boardwalk, mm-hmm. get it up, mm-hmm. on wood out in there to really be worthwhile, something that would last 50 to 100 years. It'd have to be a boardwalk, and $3 million. So that just isn't there for this project. And it's unfortunate. And so what I've been told, her colleagues in the trail department and others are looking for one of these other access points that maybe would work better eventually for a spur that will go down to the water. And you know, the hold up on the rest of the trail is the incredible difficulty of getting past the PG&E site through the power plant sites. You know, it's there and they're working on it, and the money's there. As you all know, part of WW funding has been targeted for that trail. Mm-hmm. So it isn't a money issue. It's mm-hmm. It's mostly a combination of regulatory and just the property owners not, you know, moving along quite quickly. I think the PG&E, I got some notes, PG&E Shell Pond Remediation Project is several years behind schedule, and that has to be completed before we can put the trail by that site. So it's just not happening until that's done. But the staff knows that it is of quite a lot of significance to this community to get that trail done.
Any other questions?
I'm excited. It's I remember May and I talking a lot about the Great California Delta Trail, so this is more to it, and it's great for Bay Point. Thank you.
Thank you for coming.
Nice to
meet you.
Thank you for having us.
Yes. I just wanted you to know that I was one of the referrals of Director Coffey when he was going to be appointed. I worked with him a lot, so I know his heart is really in the park, and I really appreciate him taking on this role. He's been doing a lot of work already for the park, and this is just an additional job that...
May wrote a letter of recommendation to them for my appointment, which I greatly appreciated. But basically, the next day she called and started harping on you guys. I swear. So the next day she's like, "There's money there. Why isn't that?"
And just for purpose, you know where the spur I'm talking about is the one in the purple.
Yes.
You see that green one that goes all the way there? That's the one. Because we've gone out there and we've cleaned the area several times, and you know, people really like that area.
My welcome to public office was made.
But thank you.
Thank you. Thanks.
Carla, do you have a business card?
I forgot them.
Okay.
Of course.
I gave Steve mine. So.
Right. And is it possible for you to send us a copy of this presentation?
I've got it.
Oh, you have it, Doug?
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay.
So we'll get it from him. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right, moving on. We have number six, the general manager's report. The general manager will give an oral update on district issues and activities.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just a couple of items. I did meet with the owner of Pacific Site Management. They had a change in personnel recently that would have an impact on the service to the district. We were actually kind of slipping behind on some of the issues that the district is constantly facing, particularly with irrigation, as the board is well aware of. And we weren't getting the attention that we needed. We knew there was some problem somewhere, but through the proper communication with the personnel and ultimately with the owner of the business, we've got that ironed out. We are assigned a new representative to work with the district. The owner came to my office. We had a long conversation, and it was very fruitful, and things have already started to improve. So it was one of those points that we had to make with them and to ensure that the contract was being honored. That being said, I will be bringing a proposal to the board probably after the new year about possibly going out for an RFP for services. We, as you know, we have two different contracts. One is what we call county parks, and one is with district parks. And it's silly to have two contracts. It's just one contract says one thing, another contract says another, and the services gets all mucked up, and it's just not working well with us. So we do, one will expire in March, the other has a 30-day out, and I'll be coming to the board for a direction on how we need to proceed on that. So more on that later. The slide at Lynbrook will be installed next week.
Ooh,
so we did receive it. And so we're ready to go. That'll be long awaited. And just a reminder, Thanksgiving, we have Delano here from All in One. This will be the third annual? I believe it's the third. This is the fourth one. Wow, time slips by. So this will be the fourth annual Thanksgiving that we've celebrated here actually on Thanksgiving. And welcome all board members and members of the community to join us. It's a wonderful event, great cooperative event between All in One and the district. And it's if you've ever been there, you notice that it's a very successful, and it's a real good time to enjoy the holiday and see a great community spirit. So everybody's welcome to that. Finally, First Five is working with a subgroup, and for the life of me, I can't think of the name of the particular group, but they're the ones that went around to our parks and evaluated each one of the parks. They have contacted me and indicated that they're prepared to come to the board at some point in time after their workshop. And so they're working on settling in on a date for the workshop. They hope that we will host it here. We hosted the initial site visit portion of that, and we'll certainly work with the community in encouraging them to have a workshop, and eventually that'll culminate in a report. They'll come to the board and say, this is what we found. Most likely they'll have an interest in what the board does beyond that, but that will be coming up probably after the new year also. So that's my report.
Good. Thank you. Number seven is legal counsel report, and we have none. The next thing is public communications. At this time, the public may make comments on matters not on the agenda, but within the jurisdiction of the Board of Directors. Speakers are limited to 3 minutes. A request to speak form should be submitted to staff prior to speaking. No action will be taken by the Board of Directors. Written communications received regarding items not on the agenda will be filed and may be read into the record at the discretion of the Board Chair. Do we have any public communications? All right. Moving on. Board matters. Individuals wishing to speak on items included on this agenda should first fill out and submit a request to speak form to be recognized by the chair. Please address the board and limit your comments to the specific item being discussed at the time. Speakers are limited to 3 minutes. A, consider approval of contract with Pacific Union Land Investors, LLC, for sale of approximately 1.99 acres of land at the southeast corner of Google Pass Road and Clearland Drive, Bay Point. The APN number is 097-081-027.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. The board met in closed session and accepted an offer for the purchase of Clearland property and directed me to work with legal staff to draw up a contract and enter into the purchase phase of the property. We have Sandra Wick, our representative from Colliers International, who have been marketing the property for us, and she's here to answer any questions you may have. I do have to let you know that there were some slight modifications to the one that you received via email. You do have the most updated one. This one, there was no significant or material changes to that. We just wordsmithed some things, so it's the same contract, and the terms are what was presented to the board initially. So we're here to answer any questions if you have.
Are you sure all of us read this contract, right? Word for word.
Well, I read half of it. I didn't get all of it. I'll be honest with you. I had to maybe just.
Well, I want to thank our real estate broker. You've done an amazing job, and this has certainly been a property that has been before this board, I think I can say, countless times. And so thank you for all your diligence and hard work on it.
Thank you.
And
go ahead.
Well, I move. We authorize the general manager or his designee to execute a real property purchase and sale agreement with Pacific Union Land Investors, LLC, in the amount of $1,300,266 for the sale of real property described as 1.99 acres of land in Bay Point, California, APN 0097-0081-027, referred to as Clearland property.
I second.
Thank you.
Director Hoagland?
Aye.
Director Lopez Garcia?
Aye.
Director Hudson?
Aye.
Director Torlakson?
Aye.
Director Garcia?
Aye.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Maybe something that probably for 10 years now?
Exactly.
Okay, moving on to Board Matters B.
Madam Chair, it'll almost be frightening to not have a real estate sign on.
Okay. Board Matters B. Consider partnering with Contra Costa County Elections Division to permanently remove non-mitigable barriers to provide an accessible route to voters and patrons of the Amherst Community Center and authorize an expenditure in an amount not to exceed $5,000 for district's portion of the project. Estimated cost is $17,000.
Yes, Madam Chair, if you recall, Paul Bergerino was here and they approached me about this project, which would allow an improvement to access, particularly ADA access from the parking lot at the west through the west doors here. And we decided we would put this project together. The doors here have been have seen the end of their useful life. We've repaired them a number of times, so we figured that it's a good idea to make the entire thing one project. They asked if I could partner If the district would partner with them, I would I informed them I would present it to the board to see if the board was interested in allocating funds. The $5,000 would be our portion, which would essentially be for the improvement of the doors and most likely replacement of the doors. And we do have representatives from the county here this evening that would be happy to answer any questions that you have specifically about the project and what they're looking for.
Do you have any questions? I could come up here.
Yeah, come on.
Okay. If you have a question.
Where exactly does it start?
Okay. So the Ambrose has been a long-standing polling place, right? And this is the reason why we came last month. The Department of Justice essentially highlighted it as and not it being in compliance. They're not mitigatable things. So the project starts at the parking lot, in theory, because it's the path of travel for voters from the accessible parking into the voting entrance. So when you are looking at the parking lot over here, that's the main area. Now, the other aspect of it is that when you see in the report, there's a sidewalk that we're proposing, yeah. You know, and that's like an additional thing. Really in our path and our scope is from the parking lot to the entrance. Mm-hmm. And the parking lot as well as the path of travel, it has all those gaps and the wood beams, mm-hmm. et cetera. So that's the bulk of it. The access from the sidewalk is in order to connect the property line. You know, if somebody parks over on this side, they have no way of connecting to that path of travel. But that's not necessarily what the DOJ was looking at, and I want to make that clear. But it definitely is a safety issue, you know, so it's an improvement if you're looking at the whole thing and connecting it. Otherwise, a person is in the vehicular path as they're walking mm-hmm. on the driveway. Okay, so, but our focus was like from the parking lot there. So the estimate that we provided, the 17,000, right. It includes the sidewalk, but we put it as a separate line because we realized there are different pieces to it, you know. We thought that removing the, improving on the, the landing, right. Might be able to improve some of the access, you know, into the door, but the door, like I pointed out, is probably not looking better. But we were trying to look at options, and so when we had the first conversation, I was like, well, what about the door? But that wasn't really in our scope, because we're trying to figure out the easiest way to make it work, you know, but that's definitely something that could be an improvement, and those are some just general estimates we would have to go through, like an actual, you know, bidding and figure out how close we are, you know, to those estimates. You know, to figure out where we're at, so.
Does anybody have any questions?
But Madam Chair, if there's a couple of other additions, they do have a timeline in the report itself, and it indicates that this project, if it went, was funded and the bids came in right, would be unveiled in March of this year. This is a contingent project. If you'll notice in the cost estimate that there's $5,000 in fundraising that need to be completed before the project is done. And we will be acting as the prime on this. We will be bidding the project, and the county will be the project manager. So we will be actually going out for bids. Again, this is a very, very ambitious and wonderful project for the district.
Mm-hmm. Chair? Yeah. On Exhibit D, there's an inset, and I can't tell what the inset's supposed to be. Yeah, is it? I can't tell. It says smart something.
Oh, yes. It's a picture. The smart tool is a level. So it's just showing
how
some of the
level
it
is.
Yeah,
and the gaps.
For ADA requirements.
So,
okay.
Yeah.
Color.
Huh?
I'm sorry. Yeah, we have it in color.
Yeah. So I know how
unlevel
it is.
Basically, because we were just trying to highlight that path of travel, and we just kind of zoomed into the picture of where those beams are, and like if people are trying to figure it out, and you know, and how uneven it is.
I trip there on a monthly basis. I always do. My gosh.
Is it that big?
Yeah, it's pretty.
And it's in multiple places.
Yeah,
you know? And that's just that section. You know, there's other stuff. Like, so we were just trying to, you know, narrow the scope, you know, from that area, but it is. it's just the terrain and yeah, so
sadly something rising. Yeah.
Madam Chair. I make a motion that the Board of Directors partner with the Contra Costa Elections Department, their division, to permanently remove a non-mitigatable barrier to provide an accessible route for voters and patrons of the Ambrose Community Center, and authorize the expenditure in an amount not to exceed $5,000 for the district's portion of the project estimated to cost $17,000.
I second.
Oh, go ahead. Thank you.
Director Hoagland?
Aye.
Director Lopez Garcia?
Aye.
Director Hudson?
Aye.
Director Torlakson?
Aye.
Director Garcia?
Aye. Thank you.
And I just want to introduce, we have Richard Wolfer back there and Karen Tedford. They're going to be working with me. I'll be acting as the project manager along with Doug, you know, but they are instrumental pieces of making this whole thing work. And the other portion was highlighted there about the community garden, but just addressing this portion now is
Moving on to committee reports for comments and items for the next month's agenda.
Madam Chair, may I ask that in our next agenda we bring the travel expense policy back to the board? Right now, to give you an example, it says that hotels are maxed at $200. And so, of course, if you're trying to stay in Long Beach or Sacramento in a hotel for $200, it's not that easy to come by. And so we need to look at the policy.
Okay.
I second that. I think we need three, right?
I third it. Great.
Yes, Madam Chair. I wanted to ask, because they wanted me to report at the MAC on what's happening here at Ambrose, and I would rather ask permission or have everybody's okay on it, because I don't mind to report, but I need to know what am I to report, you know, on. And I know the agenda is public thing, so I was just gonna go on off the agendas, because I really think if they're really interested, that they will come to our meetings to find out what we're talking about. So it was brought up to me this month, and I said that I would prefer to get the okay from all of the directors here, and also Mr. Long and Ms. Mary Jane, to make sure it's okay, or maybe we could get together and just write a little paragraph, and I could say it every month, but to get your okay first.
Through the chair. I think that's really nice of you to do that, but this is a public meeting, so you really don't need anybody's permission. What I always did is, if I knew something ahead of time, I would just say, you know, I always advertise the meeting and said, you know, when it was, and show up, and you know, when the pool's opening, letting them know, or, you know, but, I mean, it's nice to ask, but you don't have to.
Mm-hmm. And, well, I'm doing it out of respect.
Right, but I'm just saying that
yeah.
It's even something you don't even want to put out there, that you're asking for permission. That's not even a good thing to say, because
okay.
It's a public meeting, so there's no permission necessary, or, I mean, am I wrong on that?
Well,
Jan?
the policy says that if a board member is going to represent the board, at meetings or events, that they need the permission of majority of the board.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're going to act as a board member in representing the board and talking about policy or things the board's going to be doing, you would probably want the acquiescence of your board members to act as that representative. If you're just, you know, just talking about general things and in your capacity as a MAC member and stuff that's generally knowledge, general knowledge, public knowledge, then you can share that. But when you, as soon as you're saying, as a board member, we will be doing this, you will need to act, have the acquiescence of the board to serve in that role. Now, in order to do that, it needs to be agendized, and we need to present it to the board for board approval. So it depends on, I'm not familiar with the MAC and how it works at the MAC. If you're acting on behalf of the board or you're just representing public information and sharing that as an individual.
I always just acted like a member of the public.
Okay. And that's,
you know,
fine too.
I never said anything that anybody couldn't hear at a meeting.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just wanted to get it right.
Yes.
You know,
right.
And I'd rather ask and get the right information.
Yeah. So you would not be able to say the board of directors supports this, the board of directors, anything representing the board of directors. What you could say is just general information, acting as an individual. That's perfectly fine.
Open house is coming, we're having, tree lighting ceremony.
That's right.
Okay.
So from the chair, does it come like what we have now, we have a comment section? Is it actually, or is it part of an agenda?
It's part of the agenda.
That's why
I'm asking.
I was going to mention that it is a committee report. That's what it's under, mm-hmm. a committee report.
Maybe
and then first, they said, well, Ambrose District. And so I always said, well, I'm not reporting anything. And so it was said, well, there's two board members here. So I thought, see, that's the board member. It's not Lupe Garcia that happens to know what's going on. It's, we're putting that, they're putting that in a, to me. It felt like we were being put in a spot as a, you know, sitting on the MAC and also sitting on this board.
Right.
So that's what I said, I don't want nothing because I don't want to get in trouble.
Right.
But if what you're saying is, you know, just, yeah, we're having one thing, you know, as a individual, Lupe Garcia has mm-hmm. nothing to do. And that's why I don't like the way it's worded, because it says Ambrose, committee report.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it doesn't.
Committee.
So it's a committee within the MAC that's
yes,
supposed to
right.
be. So was it formally created?
No.
That committee?
No.
You know, I don't
so who's
know,
on the committee?
No.
Just you?
It's not really a committee. It's just under a headline.
That's what I'm saying. They're calling it the wrong thing.
Yeah,
basically.
Yeah, they're
and,
calling
and
it the wrong thing.
What,
yeah.
what I usually do, because I do it for the CAP,
right.
is I will email Ms. Marina there and tell her what I'm reporting. And I read exactly what I said to her. Like, you know, they didn't have any accidents. There was no injuries today. Their company is doing very well, and I report on both of the chemical plants. But, I mean, we do different things here. So I just would rather get the permission and just out of really respect for me, that I respect this whole group here. Mm-hmm. And I would not say anything unless I went through you first, Mr. Long. I will always go through you first. But just to say, you know, what do you want me to report on? You know, and then what I can say, and then write it out and give it to you, and then you'll give it to me back, and then the final word will be there.
So you're serving as a MAC member making a report when it comes up in the agenda. Can somebody be substituted for you? Can somebody else report on?
Yes. Yes, somebody. Well, really, it's either I or Eva.
Non-board members. Can non-board members report on the activities of the Ambrose Recreation Park District?
I don't think he was ever asked.
Because if that's the case, you would be more comfortable with somebody just representing themselves as an individual, and they're the liaison
mm-hmm.
to the board.
Mm-hmm.
But if they're actually asking board members mm-hmm. to report, I would be more comfortable with getting authorization from the board to represent the district at MAC meetings. It's kind of interesting that you have wearing two hats as a board member.
That's exactly how I felt. So
then, I'm asked because I told them that I would rather give permission. They said it was a public thing. I said, well, I would prefer.
You know, maybe what you could do, Lupe, is, you know, at the end of the agenda, when there's a section that we have on our agenda too, where you can make a comment as a board member? during that time every month, so it's not agendized as you reporting on Ambrose, mm-hmm. just, you know, you report on whatever you want, and
yes.
then you say, just wanted to let everybody know, in December we have a tree lighting ceremony, you know, at Ambrose,
mm-hmm.
we have this, and we have this, and we have this,
and
I could suggest.
And then it's just you as a public.
Yeah.
And Madam Chair, just at this point, we need to end the discussion because
okay.
it's amounting to an agenda item, and it wasn't agendized properly for that. So
okay.
if you have enough direction, or if you need to provide me with direction to bring this back to the board for discussion, I'd be happy to do that.
I would like to bring it back to the board, and we can discuss it.
Okay.
I think that
doing
things.
I think we're all.
Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah, I agree.
Thank you.
Good call, Lupe.
Okay. Does anybody have any other announcements or things that we want in the next meeting on the agenda? No?
Madam Chair, I want to thank the General Manager for the his and the Sheriff's Department's continued attention to Anuta and the residents that seem to live there, and so thank you very much for keeping an eye on that. And I'm excited to see. I went down to the pool and saw the poles. I'm excited to see the shade structure next year whenever it's put up for the people. And I can tell you, the people will be wowed the day they show up, and it'll be like a new pool all over again for the people who have been there this last year. So, thank you very much.
I also wanted to thank the cleanup crew, because, I mean, every time I go to the parks, they're so nice and clean, and I'm so proud. You know, I really am very, very proud. And, I mean, the garbage cans are all empty, you know, and the grass looks great. It just is so nice and clean, and I've taken my grandchildren around to different parks that we played in them, and there's not one of them that I have found, you know, with any kind of junk. And even to thank you so much at Lynbrook, we had that gentleman that was camping out there and just thought it was his tent he pumped up behind the trees and just thought he lived there. But he's not there anymore, and it's just really nice. And they really are doing an excellent job, and I think they all need a great hand of applause, because they are fantastic. So thank you.
Through the chair, first I'd like to apologize that I'm late. I actually was on time because you started early. But I just wanted to thank everyone in the staff with sending out the electronic copies, and that really, really helped. I know that we were kind of rushed for this meeting, and everything that you did for this meeting was fantastic.
Yeah,
and inviting.
If we get the information on Monday,
yeah.
there's no way you're getting your hard copies on Thursday, so I just didn't do it.
I understand. So thank you.
But I can always make hard copies for you to pick up or have available for you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. First thing I want to say is the auditorium looks wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Again, staff did an excellent job. It was kind of smelly there for a couple of days, whatever solution they were using. But it's amazing with a little paint. You know, a little tender care does to them. It's beautiful. It really is. So I'm really proud of that. I wanted to thank you and Mary Jane and our realtor for working hard on this. This has been a long project and sometimes very disappointing. But thank you for hopefully everything.
Yes.
And I just, I was reading the minutes, and I don't want to forget Mr. O'Brien when he came and talked about those historical items. I just don't want us to forget, because I don't want them coming back saying that we did nothing. So just, and that's it for me.
I move we adjourn.
Okay.
I'm going to second it.
Happy holidays. I mean, happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Who did you get all the cards?
I did.
Then I'll send the contract to Pacific Plan, and then we'll start reviewing it with their attorney. And then if they have any questions, we can get a hold of Pacific.
Good.